Hi, I'm Michael Sunoff, founder and CEO of HardToFindSeminars.com. For the last 5 years, I've interviewed the world's best business and marketing minds. Along the way, I've created a successful publishing business all from home from my two-car garage. When my first child was born, he was very sick, and it was then that I knew I had to have a business that I could operate from home. Now my challenge is to build the world's largest free resource for online downloadable MP3 audio business interviews. I knew I needed a site that contained strategies, solutions, and inside angles to help you live better, to save and make more money, to stay healthier, and to get more out of life. I've learned a lot in the last 5 years, and today I'm going to show you the skills you need to survive.
Driving down the street one day, and I'm thinking to myself, you know, I ought to come up with a cookbook. Cookbooks always sell. At the same time, I love science fiction movies. My twisted brain put these two ideas together. I said, you know, what a great idea. A special effects cookbook, how to create recipes that move and smoke and sing and glow in the dark and puff. And so immediately I went home and created my first recipe. I think it took me 2 months to create 50 recipes. And put them in a book. I was rolling it.
This is Michael Sunoff with Michael Sunoff's HardToFindSeminars.com. What does eat your face mean? Well, you're about to find out in this fascinating interview with Michael. Michael is a million-dollar self-publisher. Michael is also the world's foremost space advertising expert. Michael's also a PR expert, getting hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of free press. His book has sold more than 500,000 copies. He's been featured in virtually every newspaper in the country. He's been featured on national cable network shows, and he's kept all of the profits. You've got to be absolutely crazy. You've got to have rocks in your head to sell out for peanuts to a publisher when you now have all the tools to do it yourself. This is a compelling story and absolute proof that the American dream is still alive. This interview is 50 minutes. Get ready. Hang on to your hat now. Let's get going. Hey, Mike. It's Mike Sunoff out in San Diego.
Good morning, Mike. How you doing?
Good. How are you doing?
Excellent, thanks.
Hey, well, I really appreciate this. You told me you sold over 500,000 books. Is that just a special effects book?
That's just a special effects book, yeah.
500,000. You're a real success story. I mean, you've made $1 million through the self-publishing business.
I sure have, and I'm very, very proud to say that. You know, it's been one of my big goals to do that, you know, to be like a Ted Nicholas or a Joe Cosman, and by gosh, I think I did it.
You said you've been doing space ad writing for how long?
I consider myself the world's foremost space ad guy.
How did you get into that?
I got into it because back in the 70s, I was a young guy in my early 20s. I was a salesman. I started out selling encyclopedias.
Where did you grow up?
I grew up in a little place called Chardon, Ohio. That's right outside of Cleveland. When I was a boy out there, I sold seeds door to door.
Yeah, how old were you?
Probably 8, 10 years old.
Okay, so you've always been entrepreneurial?
Always been entrepreneurial. I wanted that set of walkie-talkies when I was a kid. If you sold enough seeds, you got a pair of walkie-talkies.
Now, was this through school, the garden seed?
No, it was just for me.
Tell me how you did that when you were a kid.
I saw a space ad on the back of a comic book. I see them all the time selling greeting cards or selling seeds. And I lived in a farming community, so I thought that would be a good thing to do, and sure enough, it worked out great.
Okay, great. Did you get those walkie-talkies?
I got those walkie-talkies, and my buddies and I played army men, you know, midnight missions with our walkie-talkies and had a blast.
Did you sell door-to-door?
Oh, yeah, door-to-door. Just walk up in cold, knock on the door, and had a little pitch memorized.
When you ordered the little kit, did it give you a pitch to use, or did you kind of hone that on your own?
It told you exactly what to say. You memorized it, and that was it.
Wow. So do you remember how long you did that?
Oh, it was just a summer.
That's great.
It was just a summer. But it was the bodybuilding ads in those old comic books.
Yep, the Charles Atlas ads.
Charles Atlas and Mike Marvel. I used to just pore over those ads. They motivated me so much. And when I got a little older, I saw the ad in 78, I guess it was, by Joe Carbo, The Lazy Man's Way to Riches. And if that's for me, that's just what I want to do.
And you bought the book. you know, I'm getting ready. I just got off the phone with a buddy of mine. He's a copywriter, and he has sent me the images of some comic book ads and some other famous ads. They're sitting on my hard drive, and I just haven't had a chance to upload them to the Hard to Find Ads website. But I'm going to be doing that probably in the next 2 or 3 weeks, and I'll be sending out an email. But a lot of those Charles Atlas ads are in there, and some really fantastic stuff, especially from the comic books.
Yeah, I've got a lot of those already. I've got a good buddy who still has his comic book collection. I went through a couple of hundred of them and copied all those space ads.
Did you scan them?
No, I have hard copies.
Okay, you photocopied them?
Right.
All right, so you liked those space ads. How old were you when you really recognizing the space ads in the back of the comic books? Were you younger then?
Yes. My dad was an engineer. He traveled all over the world, and one summer he took us to Aruba. I think I was 12 years old. I knew no one there and had a stack of comic books that I bought from a local drugstore there in Aranjestad in Aruba, and just stayed in my room and read these comic books. And once again, the space ads moved me a great deal. I think that's when I really got serious about it.
Did you like them because the power of it selling you? Or?
Absolutely. Yeah, the psychology that the copywriters were using to get right down into the core of my soul and how they knew this is exactly what I wanted, it just amazed me because they seemed to understand me so well. And they never met me. And I wondered, you know, how in the heck do these guys do this? And understand me so well and know exactly what I want, when I want it, to the depth that I want it.
And so did you know that you wanted to be like them? You wanted to be able to write like that and sell things?
I don't think intellectually I understood that at the time. It wasn't until the 70s when I got the Carbo material. That's when it really started to go.
So were you collecting the ads before you found Carbo?
No.
When you saw the Carbo ad, do you remember where you first saw it?
Yeah, I think I do. It was in a magazine called Free Enterprise, an excellent magazine that no longer exists, but at that time it was one of the premier opportunity mags, and they were just loaded with opportunities. This was one of them.
And so you ordered his book. After you got the book, you devoured it. What did you think about the first part of the book with the attitude stuff?
That was right up my alley, because I'm kind of a spiritual guy to begin with. I like psychology, and I kind of understood that inherent. I really didn't have to be sold on that part of the book. I was reading Think and Grow Rich and all the self-help books, the Dale Carnegie stuff, before I found Carbo. So that was a natural for me. It just went right into my psyche.
Well, after you read that book, did you launch your first direct mail project?
I sure did.
Tell me about it.
I never have done direct mail, though. I've always done space ads.
Okay, you've always done space ads.
I've always been interested in health and cooking. So the first project I ever did was how to cure hiccups. I get the hiccups when I drink any kind of irritating stuff or if I eat spicy foods. I always used to get the hiccups. Did a little research. This was long before acupressure. I called it an acupinch. I went and I found out there was a Chinese meridian on your left forearm that if you pinch it just in the right place, you could interrupt that impulse.
And it works?
It worked for me. So I wrote a little course like 4 or 5 pages, and I put an ad in one of the rags. I think it was the Inquirer. I sold a few books. You know, it wasn't anything great.
Did you put a space ad in the Inquirer?
This was classified.
Do you remember what your first response was on it?
No, I think I got 20 or 23 orders.
And how much did you sell it for?
Oh, I think it was only $5 or $6.
Okay, but that's still exciting.
That only cost $20 or $30, so I made a profit from the very beginning. And then from there, I went into a full-size book that I created, How to Get Free Dental Care.
What made you choose that product?
I had bad teeth, and I was living in Cleveland, Ohio, and at the time, there was a dental school there, Case Western Reserve is still there, a school of dentistry, and if you called up, you could get into the school and be a guinea pig for the students.
Oh, wow.
Fillings, and do have all kinds of procedures done for free.
And there's probably schools doing that still today.
Exactly right.
Okay.
And at the time, there were also federal programs in place, but states funded, and so I put together a whole directory of schools and state-funded programs where you could walk in and say, hey, you know, I've got dental problems, fix them for free. That was my first big selling product. I sold tens of thousands of those.
So you put your directory together. How did you sell it? What was your first ad on that?
My first ad was a junior page ad.
What's a junior page?
A junior page is smaller than a full page, but it dominates the page. If a full page ad is 7x10 in a magazine, a junior page will be 5.5x6.5, somewhere around there.
And what publication?
My first ad was in Spotlight. Just now it's called American Free Press.
What kind of paper is it?
It's a tabloid newspaper. It was published out of Washington, D.C. Extremely good for testing health-related items.
Was it a regional test?
No, it's a national one. I think they had a circulation of 200,000 at the time.
So 200,000, you had a junior ad. What was the headline, you remember?
Yes, the headline is what really did it. The headline was, "Dentists Scream Bloody Murder."
Oh, wow, that's great.
And that got people's attention to read the ad. That's the job of a SpaceAd headline, is to capture the attention of the reader immediately. You've only got them for about a half of a second. And if you don't get them immediately, they just turn the page and they're gone forever.
Dentists Scream Bloody Murder.
Dentists Scream Bloody Murder. Because the readership of that publication are heavy into conspiracy theories and political conspiracies and things like that. So I designed the headline to match the demographics of the readership. And I think the subhead was, "Dentists are mad because you can now get free dental care," or something like that.
Was it a copy-intensive ad?
Copy-intensive ad. That's all it was. All my ads are editorial.
You still have that ad, right?
Oh, sure.
Well, maybe for the listeners, can we put a PDF of that ad under the recording?
I'd be happy to.
You ran that. This was your first space ad for this product. Tell me what happened. How long did you have to wait before you submitted the ad until the magazine came out? Was it a weekly?
That's always the tough part. It is a weekly. Once you place the ad, it takes 10 days to 2 weeks, depending on when you place it, for the ad to appear.
And you have to pay all up front?
Oh, yeah. At that time, I had no credit with anyone.
Were you nervous?
Actually, I wasn't. I was excited.
Do you remember what the cost of the ad was?
Let's see. I think it was $600.
And that was back in the 70s?
Right. That was late, maybe 79 or 80.
So what happened? You placed the ad. The thing came out.
I got 700 orders.
700 orders.
$10 a pop.
$7,000.
I was in business.
Wow. Were you just ecstatic?
I was ecstatic. Once I had placed a few more ads, I realized that getting 700 orders from a junior page ad in a tabloid with a circulation of 200,000 is just outstanding.
It is.
It's outrageous. I have not been able to duplicate that since, although I've done pretty well, but it was just one of those freaky things.
All right, tell me, the magazine comes out. Tell me when the orders start coming in and how you can calculate how many orders you're going to get. I'm sure you've got that figured out by now. Like with space ad, what can you expect if your ad comes out in a weekly?
If it's a weekly, you're going to get, oh, probably 75% of your total gross revenue in the first 2 weeks. Depends if you've got a phone line in there or not. My first ad did not have a phone.
What was your call to action? What was your guarantee in that?
Oh, I always have a lifetime guarantee. I don't mess around. I advertise honestly, and if people don't like the product, they send it back.
So you state in all your ads you have a lifetime guarantee?
Absolutely, yeah. I think at that time it probably wasn't a lifetime, but it was pretty held, maybe 6 months or something. I'll have to pull the ad out and look at it. But, oh, yeah, you've got to have good, strong guarantees. Otherwise, people are just too hip today. You know, they get one sniff that you're trying to con them or sell them something with untruth involved, you're going to be dead in the water.
Yeah, they're going to pick it up.
Exactly. So you have to be completely honest and really give value for the money. You know, really pile on the free bonuses.
As you're pouring through these editorial display ads and the rags and stuff, what do you think some of the most common mistakes that you see are happening?
I think most common mistake that marketers make is not identifying their USP, their universal selling proposition. A lot of people call it USA, and I'm surprised how people really don't understand what they're selling. And if you don't understand what your USP is, you're going to do badly. But if you have a really strong idea of what your main benefit is, then you're really going to sell the heck out of it. I think that's the most common mistake I see. A lot of times, there's a lot of hype going on, a lot of unbelievable claims being made. I guess if I have to choose one, it would be people just not understanding what their USP is.
Let's go back. So you sold 700 orders. Did you now expand your advertising for that book?
I did.
How many papers did you go
in? In a small way, I went into, at that time, it's called the National Tattler. It's like the National Enquirer. Didn't do well there.
What happened?
It's a different kind of an audience.
More sophisticated?
A lot less. Plus, they were not the type to respond to the type of copy I was using. And so for a few years, I was pretty much stuck with the spotlight.
Did you try it in other papers, too?
I did. I tried it in daily newspapers, and it fell flat.
Did you lose on the Tattler, or did you break even?
I rarely lose money.
You rarely lose?
Yeah. Once you you understand the principles of direct marketing, you're not going to lose unless you really do something stupid. You know, if you try to get cute in the headline, you're going to get killed.
So the Tattler, when you ran that, did you do a junior ad in that one as well?
The Tattler, I believe it was the junior page, right.
And so how many orders did you get on that if you compared it?
I blocked that out. But like I said, I didn't make a lot of money.
It wasn't enough to rerun it, but it covered your cost of the ad?
Oh, sure.
In most of your tests, you'll cover your cost.
Oh, yeah. Really have to. A lot of marketers don't make money in their front-end product. They have to depend on the back-end product. And I've really never done that. I've always made a lot of money.
On your front-end?
On my front-end, yeah.
Did you handle all your fulfillment on those 700 orders?
Everything.
You did everything. Tell me about when you produce your product, what are a couple of things that are important if you were to advise me if I'm running a space ad and I'm selling an information product, your packaging, your mailing. Give me some tips on how things that you learned in that process that would make my life easier when I'm handling the orders and the fulfillment and the shipping and everything. So orders come in. How are you processing all your orders?
Well, now I do it a lot different. Back then, I did everything myself. It was very simple. It was a small booklet. You just go to an office supply store and buy envelopes and go to the post office and buy stamps. At that time, we were using typewriters and adhesive labels. You just type the label up, you slap it on the envelope, you stick the book in the envelope.
Was it a number 10 envelope?
Oh, no, it was a catalog envelope. And, you know, it couldn't be easier.
And so you just mailed the first class of stamps?
Sure. It wasn't until later that I started to get involved with more books that I'd written. Your fulfillment starts to get a little more sophisticated. You don't really have to do it yourself. Hopefully, you know, you hire people to take care of that for you.
All right, well, let's go into your next project after that. That was kind of like your first taste.
I'm driving down the street one day, and I'm thinking to myself, you know, I ought to come up with a cookbook. Cookbooks always sell.
They're always number one sellers.
Yeah, and people buy hundreds of cookbooks they have in their home. It seems like anybody who comes out with a cookbook, they can sell it.
Where did you learn about the market for cookbooks?
I really didn't learn about it.
You were just thinking about it?
I read something where cookbooks always sell.
So now you're thinking of the hungry market.
Now I'm thinking of the hungry market. Same time, I love science fiction movies, and I'm driving down the street. My twisted brain puts these two ideas together, science fiction and cooking, special effects and cooking.
Tell me what year you're at.
This was back in 1990. I said, what a great idea, a special effects cookbook, how to create recipes that move and smoke and sing and glow in the dark and puff and snap, crackle, and pop, and so on. And so immediately I went home and created my first recipe, which was a smoking dragon cake. It's a cake in the shape of a dragon that actually blows out safe, mysterious smoke.
And you figured how to do this all yourself?
Oh, yeah. I told you, I have a little bit of an inventing spirit. And then from there, I just created another one and another one and another one. I think it took me 2 months to create 50 recipes and put them in a book. I was rolling. I had the first cookbook called The Special Effects.
What kind of advice would you give someone if you're producing a good quality book? How did you do it? Did you do this all yourself, or did you hire expert advice?
I actually did both. Unless you're very well versed in desktop publishing or you're a good artist, I would hire it done. I did a little bit of both. I wrote all the recipes out myself in longhand and did some rough sketches. And I have a good friend who's a cartoonist, actually. He did the hand drawings. And I used a collage of his drawings for the cover of the book and wrote some copy for the back. Just took it down to a Pitt Printing or a Geico or something. I forget it. But I cranked out 20 books.
Were they all soft cover?
All soft cover.
Was it a color cover?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. You had photographs of a couple cakes?
Nope. No photograph. I didn't have a lot of money to advertise at that time.
How many did you run on your first run?
I think I ran 25 books.
Did you copyright it?
Oh, sure.
At that time, did you get one of those barcodes, or were they not doing it then?
I did, but not until later. Probably a year later, I didn't bother even with a formal copyright. I just went ahead and printed copyright 1990, Mike Sonaric.
Was your whole plan to sell this by space?
Right, but I really didn't have enough money to do it right, so I did some publicity. And this is another thing I think a lot of marketers don't pay enough attention to, is getting publicity for their product, especially books. Books are hard to sell. You know, if you go to a publisher and have them agree to publish your book, they're still not going to advertise it.
Did you try that route, going to a publisher with your book?
No, I didn't.
You never considered it?
I always considered self-publishing. I wanted to maintain complete control over my product.
Tell me the negatives. A lot of people think a publisher is going to sell a million copies. What are the negatives of going to a publisher, and what could you explain would be some of the benefits of using a publisher? Let's say you've got a great idea. A lot of people want to go take it and try and sell their book to a publisher. Why would you advise someone not to do that?
Well, you're not going to sell very many copies unless, you know, you're Stephen King or somebody like that. like that. Publishers do not advertise your book. They publish it, they send it to the bookstores, and the bookstores stack it up. And hopefully when you walk into the store, you're going to see it and buy it. Or unless you're smart, you can get yourself on radio shows and so on in order to sell books. But you're still only going to get a percentage from the publisher.
What do you think a publisher is going to pay you? Let's say if it's a $20 book.
If you write a book and you're published, you're lucky if you sell 5,000 copies. And you might get a dollar or two per copy. So that's a maximum of $10,000 you're going to realize from your book. And nobody can live on $10,000.
But don't also the publishers make you pay money for the initial printing? Are there any upfront fees that the publishers require that you pay for as well?
I've never heard of that. That could be, like I say, I've never bothered with publishers.
Okay, so you're not sure on that?
No.
So you're going to basically make peanuts?
You're going to make peanuts, right? You're going to spend a lot of time. You're going to be proud of yourself when you walk into the bookstore and see your book on the shelf. You're going to say, hey, look what I did, but that gets you. It doesn't get you any of the stuff that you can spend. But if you self-publish that book, it might take you $1 to have that book printed up in large quantities. And you can sell it for $20 and sell 5,000 copies every month. Now you're talking money. But in order to do that, you have to do your own marketing. And that's the kicker. A lot of people, when they first do their first book, they don't have the kind of money to advertise it. So once again, we come back to publicity.
Did Ken Nicholas influence you, too?
Oh, yeah. He was one of the big influences.
He was mainly space ad, too.
He was the space ad guy for a long time. That's why I learned the majority of my space ad stuff.
All right, let's go back to your publicity. So you gave publicity a try with this crazy idea, science fiction cookbook. What did you do first?
I studied publicity, learned a lot from a guy named Paul Hartunian. Probably has the best course on publicity out there, and wrote a press release.
Did you follow his format to the T?
To the T. And I sent that press release out, and it was just inundated.
Did you mail it or email it?
I mailed it. Yeah, this was before email. I mailed it to radio stations, newspapers.
What was the headline of your press release? You remember?
I sure do. I still use it.
What is it?
Every year I send these things out. I've been doing it for 12 years. The headline of my press release is, Kids Eat Their Own Faces, Moms Laugh Their Heads Off. Now, there's a recipe in the book called the Eat Your Face Gelatin Mold.
I saw it.
Yeah, you can make an exact clone of your face in gelatin and then serve it up for the salad course at your Halloween party.
Why don't you give everyone the website if someone wants to look at that now?
Sure, that's www.specialeffectscookbook.com. It's all one word, Special Effects Cookbook.
Okay, so how many did you mail out on this first press release?
About 100 press releases.
Okay, and what happened? The phone started ringing.
The phone started ringing at 5 o'clock in the morning.
Did you send your question and answer page, your bio page?
Just send your press release out first. And then when an editor or disc jockey calls you, then you offer to send them your bio sheet and your question and answer sheet. You know, they think you're very professional and you've done this before, and actually you haven't. You know, you're still bleary-eyed in your pajamas. Started to get calls, especially from these morning zoo shows on the FM station. They just thought it was hilarious. They let me talk about my products for 5 or 10 minutes, give my 800 number out and my website address, and hang up the phone and go check, and orders pouring in immediately. Good thing about publicity is that it creates buzz marketing, word of mouth, which is the best kind that you can get. The big upside to all this is that it's free. You don't have to pay a nickel. Of course, you do want to continue to advertise, so you've got that 1-2 punch, especially, you know, if you're going to be on a radio show in Denver, and then you buy a little space ad in the Denver Post or something, so that a lot of people will see that and say, hey, I heard this guy on the radio. Like when I called you, you said, hey, aren't you the guy with the exploding cakes or whatever? You had heard of me because of my publicity.
That's right. I heard of you on the Food Network, and I saw the volcano cake. My son's birthday was coming up, and I knew right then that was the cake we were going to make, because it's always a big deal. We usually do a theme, and I was trying to think of what kind of cake are we going to do, or my wife was like, what kind of cake should we do? What kind of cake should we do? And I go, I got it. We're doing the volcano cake with the dry ice.
Right.
And we did it. And I will email you. I've got a great picture of everyone singing happy birthday with our volcano cake with the smoke coming out. And I'm in there. All right. I'll put it up on the website. Yeah.
All right. That's the holy grail for foodies, is to get on the Food Network. And I sent them the same press release I've been sending out to everyone else.
When would you send your press release? What month? Or would you do it all year long?
You do it pretty much all year long.
How are you doing it today? By mail or by email?
I tried email, and it just doesn't work.
Did you try Paul Hartunian's email list?
Yes, I did.
Nothing happened?
It was weak. A lot of editors are just inundated with these emails.
What about fax?
Fax I've never done.
But you're still sticking to the direct mail?
Mail. There's special ways to do it. You put your press release in a big red envelope, and you use a magic marker for your return address, and you just write in big letters all over it so that this envelope really looks special.
What size envelope?
A big red envelope, 8x10, number 10. Just be outrageous. You know, like a guy who wears a red suit, he walks into the room, and you got to see him.
All right, so you sent these out in a red envelope.
A big red envelope with a black magic marker, and you just write the guy's name in big black letters.
That is a great idea. Where do you get your red envelopes from?
Staples.
So it costs you more than one stamp to mail it?
Yeah, a couple of stamps. But
do you handwrite the address?
Handwrite the address.
Do you do them all yourself, Sal?
Oh, yeah. You only need 10 a day.
Yeah, no big deal.
Watching TV or something.
So that red envelope comes. How many press releases do you send out a year? Any idea?
Oh, boy, hundreds.
Hundreds a year. All right. It doesn't take you much time. It's just a little machine, right?
Yeah. You do a little bit every day. So you get that constant flow of interest from TV guys, from radio guys, from newspaper guys.
What percentage press are you getting if you broke it up? Newspaper, radio, TV, and tell me if there's a way you can measure the results from each. What do you like best? What works the best?
Newspaper's best for me.
Because they write it up.
They write it up, and you get instant results, especially for Halloween. I've been on full page in the food section, full color. My whole first page is my face and my story and all my contact information. And, you know, if you get a big story in Boston or L.A. or Chicago or New York, millions of people are going to see that.
When a full page comes out in a big city like that, what happens?
You sell a lot of books.
Do you have a call service answering these?
Oh, sure. Oh, yeah. You have an 800 number in your press release. I have a computerized system where it's all automated. My system can handle 10,000 calls simultaneously.
Okay. Is it all in-house?
No.
You're using a service.
This is a company in Tallahassee.
Is this for your order taking?
Pretty much everything.
Tell me about the number on the press release. Is that coming to you personally when you send out your press releases and the media is calling you to do the interview?
The way a press release works and looks is that you have to follow a format. At the very top of the press release, the upper left-hand corner, you just type in for immediate release. On the other side, right across from that, you say for further information, contact, and then you got to have your name and your office phone number. You can leave a number with an answering machine, but I don't recommend.
No, you want to handle all the media contacts yourself.
I'm going to talk to these guys immediately and with a live person, you know, a person who knows the story front and back. It usually has to be yourself.
When they do the story on you, are newspapers coming out to meet you to do photography and everything?
Many, many times they do.
But you have all that now prepared in a kit, right?
Oh, exactly right.
So if a newspaper wants to do a story, you're sending them a media kit.
You've got pictures, the whole story, all the questions that they might ask, along with all the answers that you want them to give. And many times they will print that verbatim.
Do you give them copies of other newspaper stories that they could use?
Never have anybody ask me for that.
Have you ever considered writing the whole newspaper story yourself?
They don't want to do that. The guy who calls you or the lady who calls you, usually it's a journalist, and they have an editor. And the whole point of writing the press release in the format that I recommend is that you're not selling anything. You can't sell anything with the press release. Make them look good with your story. When they go to their editor and they say, hey, Mr. Editor, look at this great story I've got on this guy who makes his face in Jell-O and he eats it and everybody laughs. That's a fun story around Halloween. And it makes the editor look good. So you let him write it. Let him sell it for you. It works like a charm, Mike. It really does.
Tell me your big first press, like where a newspaper did a whole story of you on the front page like you were describing. Where did that happen?
That was the Chicago Sun Press.
Front page of the food section?
Right.
How long ago was that?
Oh, many years. Maybe 92 or 93.
All right, so you gave them an 800 number for fulfillment, and a different number if someone wanted to order.
Correct.
And you were already set up with a fulfillment company?
Right.
So where did you find your fulfillment company?
One of these courses. I think it was a Dan Kennedy book that I found, Concord.
Oh, is it Concord Communication?
Concord, right.
Did they have the live operators at that time?
Sure.
Is that the 800 number where they track the calls and everything?
They can do everything.
And they'll take your order and everything?
They can do everything, you know, like your home office away from home.
Okay, so Concord Communications, is that who you still use?
I still use them. I have been with them for years.
All right, that's wonderful. When someone calls that 800 number, tell me what happens.
Well, that's usually to place an order. Yeah,
and Concord has a script and everything?
Oh, yes, a script that I wrote, word for word. They take the credit card number and process it for you. They do the whole thing.
Wow. What do they charge you for that, to process an order for you?
It's about 30% of whatever I'm asking for the order.
30%. That example in Chicago, what was the book selling for? Do you have the price?
At that time, I think it was only $12.95 because I only had one book. Now there's three of them and there's a whole package available, but at that time there was only one book.
You were paying about $3 to handle the processing of the order.
Right.
Still worth it.
Absolutely, because you can sell 1,000 books at once.
And what happened when that thing came out? How many books did you sell?
I guess 300 or 400 books. I don't remember exactly. Like I say, it was over 10 years ago.
What did you train them to say on the phone when someone calls in? What was important about your script?
It was just a generic script. I didn't do anything special. Thanks for calling SpecialEffectsCookbook.com. Would you like to order 10 books or 5 books? Or I forget exactly what I said, but it's just a regular format.
Okay, so that was Chicago. What were some other great big hits with your publicity? Like before we get to the Food Network.
Oh, geez, there were so many of them. Just about every newspaper in the country has done this.
Each one is worth 100, 200 books.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, sometimes you can get 400 or 500 orders. I was on the front page of the paper down here last Halloween. They actually teased it all week. They had a little blurb all over the paper, you know, be watching for the story on this unusual guy who happens to be a resident here in Space Coast. You know, they prime you and they prime you and they get you all slobbering for my stuff. And on the Halloween, there it was, a full color, full page story on me with all these cool pictures. They sent the photographer out and we did all kinds of cool stuff. I walk down the street now, and people say, hey, aren't you the guy who was saying, yeah, that's me.
That's hilarious.
I'm a celebrity down here now.
How many books did you sell on that one?
Just about 100. It's a small area.
What do you pocket after fulfillment and everything on each book? How do you have it packaged now today? Did you up the price and increase the value?
Yeah, I have 2 cookbooks now with a little free book that explains the science behind the special effects. I get a lot of orders from schools and libraries who want to use it in the classroom. Kids about the principles of physical science. And that's, you know, real cheap to put together. These books only cost me $1 a piece. I have printed up now in the last 10,000. And I'm these big machines that can print up 10 books at one time. So it's cheap.
If you were to recommend someone, let's say you're getting up in volumes on printing, could you recommend a printer for someone to use?
We use someone in Kansas City. You just go to the phone book and look at the printers and call up, tell them you have a glossy book, that you need a lot of copies.
Is it still a soft cover book?
Oh, yeah. It's the cheapest way to do it.
Soft cover, 8.5 by 11?
Right.
What does each book end up costing you if you're doing them in lots of 10,000?
About $1 a piece.
$1 a piece. Not bad.
I've got 2 books at $1 a piece. That's $2 plus the little Brainerd book is about 30 cents to print up. So I've got $2.30 in hard costs. And I sell the package on my website for $24.95. But that includes postage and shipping.
All right, so what do you put in your pocket after the order's taken, after it's shipped and everything?
Well, I'm not going to say exactly.
At least 10 bucks.
Oh, yeah.
10, 15 bucks a pop.
That's over 10 bucks.
We were talking about space, and now we're talking about press releases. If you had your choice, have you lightened up on the space, or is your favorite now press release?
I think more space.
You do more space still.
I use press releases as a little helper to help along. Like I said before, if you know you're going to be on the radio in Palm Bay here in Florida, then you would want to buy a little ad in the local paper so you get that 1-2 punch. I sell a new book now on arthritis cures, excuse me, ways to treat arthritis pain, all natural stuff. And I've been selling the heck out of that with space ads and very, very little press releases.
So where are you going into space for that one?
I go mainly into publications that are over 55, like Good Old Days and Cappers and Grit and World War II and a lot of travel magazines.
What does that one sell for?
This offer sells for $15.95.
Arthritis Cures.
Yeah, it's called Dirt Cheap Arthritis Miracles from Mother Nature. A little booklet that explains a lot of old wives' tales that have been around for years and years. Have you ever heard of the 9 drunken raisins?
No.
That's a pretty interesting one where you take 9 golden raisins and you soak them in gin for a week until they absorb the gin and you eat 9 of these raisins a day. And within 3 or 4 days, your arthritis pain starts to dissipate.
Wow, you're kidding.
How it works, I don't know.
That's an old wives' tale?
It was an old wives' tale until people started to try it. If you Google gin-soaked raisins, you'll see it's not unusual.
I'm going to have to tell my father-in-law. What's another good cure in that book?
Grape juice and sirtel. It's apple pectin. You mix the two together and you drink a little bit every day. Don't know the science behind it, but it does help repair the cartilage in the joints. So, you know, the pain starts to go away. I'm not saying it's a cure. It's a way to get rid of this grating pain.
Well, obviously, it's such a hungry market. I mean, when someone's in pain, they'll do anything. My father-in-law has gout. You know, we've bought him the cherry juice. And when you're in pain, you're desperate to try anything.
Absolutely.
You told me you sold over 500,000 books. Is that just the special effects books?
That's just the special effects books, yeah.
500,000.
500,000 books.
Tell me about how you got onto Food Network and what happened, the story behind that.
I just sent the press release out, you know, kids eat faces for fun, moms laugh their heads off.
In your red envelope.
My red envelope, right. Producer saw it, gave me a call.
When they call, what'd they say?
A real friendly young woman in her early 20s was a producer for another company that produces shows for the Food Network out in Colorado. And she said she received my press release and thought that it would make a really nice little story on the Food Network.
Were you jumping up and down?
I was jumping up and down, you betcha. Because, like I said before, this is the holy grail for foodies. You get on there and people just love that show.
How many millions of viewers do they have?
Yeah, I think 12 million viewers at any one time. She called me up and said, yeah, we'd like to hear more about this. So we talked back and forth for a couple of days, and she said, okay, we're going to send a producer and a photographer out. They came right here to my home in my kitchen. They were here for 12 hours. I think a five-minute segment. It took us 12 hours to film that.
Wow, 12 hours. So they came with a cameraman, lighting, and everything.
Whole deal. It was a big deal.
Were you preparing all that time? Did they tell you how to do it?
Yeah, you've got a signed contract, a lot of work, but they contract out for a show called Unwrapped.
Right, yeah. So they produced for Unwrapped. Were they specifically developing the segment for Unwrapped?
Correct. They're called High Noon Productions. Food Network actually hires out a lot of these production companies to do the actual production of these little cooking shows, and then they buy them from them.
You say it's a lot of work. Tell me about it. Like, if someone's getting ready to do a production with a network like that, what can someone expect?
Well, in my case, I had to have a lot of food demonstrations all set and ready to go.
So you had to make the cake.
I always have a professional make my cake so they look beautiful, and then I set up special effects. It takes a couple of days of concerted effort, but, you know, you really can't complain, because once that show airs, it's going to repeat 3-4 times a year. Every time it repeats, the same thing happens. You wake up in the morning and your email box is just jammed full of orders from people who saw that show the previous day.
Do they tell you when they're going to rerun it?
And that's one of the fun parts, is that you never know. You never know. You just wake up one morning and you open up your email and bang, 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 bang. Just one starts to pop right up after the other, you know. And after 100 of these things pop up, you realize, hey, my show aired on Food Network again yesterday.
I was able to capture and record the Food Network show. This is a 6-minute clip of the Food Network show that ran the story on Mike in the special effects cookbook. Enjoy.
Taken his love of food and turned it into an unusual cookbook filled with recipes for fun. Watch. That's scientists giving food life.
We have food that moves, falls and smokes, and even sings.
That's because Mike Simonic is an inventor of culinary gizmos for kids and the author of the special effects cookbook, which was inspired by his love of the kitchen and special effects in movies.
So I'm driving down the street one day, and I just put the two ideas of special effects in science fiction movies in a cookbook.
His book hit the shelves in 1992 with over 40 offbeat recipes, ranging from dancing raisins to a pulsating heart-shaped cake pumped up with a turkey baster. But no matter what the project is, it's all fairly simple.
All the recipes are easy. That's one of the main benefits in the cookbooks, is that they're easy and they're fun to do.
Now you can make a smoke-breathing dragon cake or a familiar gelatin mold of your face. But his most requested recipe is the erupting volcano cake.
It's really easy. You don't even have to be a baker.
Mike starts with 2 store-bought bun cakes.
Stack one on top of the other and just shape it so it looks like a mountain.
Next, he slathers chocolate icing under the sides. Then decorates his prehistoric peak. Now, it's time for the magic.
All right, we're ready for the special effect. The lava.
To get the hot lava going, Mike starts cold. Really cold. A few chunks of dry ice are carefully placed inside a cup in the center. Tongs are vital because dry ice is frozen carbon dioxide and At 109 degrees below zero, it can burn. Then, evaporated milk and red food coloring pour over the ice. Within seconds, the volcano erupts. In the volcano, proteins in the milk react with ice, creating bubbles you can eat.
Now that's tasty lava.
Ultimately, Mike wants kids' imaginations to erupt, even in the classroom.
Oh, man.
But the question is, would the teacher mind?
I get letters from science teachers all the time telling me that they use the cookbook in their class to demonstrate the principles of physical science.
And who's the ultimate scientist Mike would like to impress?
It would be Thomas Edison. That would be a kick, and I think I could make him laugh.
Now, when they air Food Network, is it going national, or does it sometimes go regional?
It's national.
It's always national.
They even have a separate company in Canada. The show will air up there when it's not airing down here, so I'll start to get a whole bunch of orders from Canada, and a tip-off that the Canadian version ran.
That little segment, it's been in Unwrapped, right? But have you ever seen it in different shows other than Unwrapped, or is it always airing on that specific Unwrapped segment?
No, it's always on Unwrapped. It's the same show. They just keep repeating.
That's one of our favorite shows. We watch it all the time.
Hey, it's a good show.
It's wonderful. From that Food Network thing, have you estimated how many books you've sold just from that one production and then rerunning it and rerunning it and rerunning it? What's that one been worth to you?
That's been a big one. I'd have to say it's been over 2 years now, so I would say that's been worth at least $30,000 to me.
That's wonderful.
For sending out a press release with a 35-cent stamp or a 40-cent stamp, I got back $30,000.
On that segment, how do they direct people for more information? Do they just give your website?
And I wish they did, Mike. If they did, I'd be doing 10 times as much.
And they don't do it, huh?
No, they're not allowed to. They do direct you to the Unwrapped part of foodnetwork.com.
People have to inquire, how can I get that book?
If you go to Food Network and then click on Unwrapped, they have a whole list of shows that have aired in the past. You'll find mine. You just click on that. It tells you all my contact information.
Oh, it does?
It tells my website and my 800 number.
If they gave your website and said, to get his book, go to...
Oh, man. If they said, go to specialeffectscookbook.com, I probably would have sold... Oh, $1 million worth of books by now. Easy.
You weren't able to wiggle that into your production?
That's not possible.
They make sure it's not in there.
I tried to put a little sign that I made, specialeffectscookbook.com, not allowed.
Didn't they show the cookbook?
Sure, I showed a picture of the book.
We just searched it on Google, but we ended up buying it off of eBay.
I see.
Maybe we couldn't find your website. I don't know. But we just went on eBay and we typed in special effects cakes or special effects cookbook. Maybe we did find your site. I'm not sure. But we did buy it.
Well, thanks. I appreciate that.
No, it was great. That's a great story.
Yeah, for self-publishers, publicity is the main technique to use to get people to know who you are and to buy your products. It really is beautiful because it's so cheap and fast. You know, if you do it right, you're controversial, you know, in your headline. That's pretty much the key. It's like a space ad. A headline has to create real interest. You have to seduce the reader to arouse their curiosity, I guess.
Tell me about your chocolate perfume.
That's one of my funny little throwaway products. Just driving down the street one day with my wife, and she is a chocolate. She was inhaling a Hershey bar, and she just made an offhand comment, you know, why doesn't someone create chocolate perfume? I'd sure buy it. And that's all you got to do is say something like that to me, and I'm off to the races. So that's one of my little inventions.
And how'd it go? Do people buy it?
Around Valentine's Day, it's not a real big seller. It's more of a novelty type thing. Be careful with it, because if you do it, you're going to smell like a chocolate bar for about a week.
That's hilarious. Okay, your gross-out cookbook.
Get Sick and Turn Blue cookbook. That's a new one.
How's this one going?
Slow, but I didn't think I'd sell 1 million copies. Mainly for kids and 10, 12 years old. You know, especially boys, they like to gross each other out.
Are you doing space ads for this?
No. Contacting catalogs. That's the best way to market this product.
So you constantly have to do marketing.
Oh, yeah. 24 hours a day. You know, the old saw, a terrible thing happens when you don't advertise. Nothing.
Yeah, nothing happens.
That's what happens when you don't advertise. You don't sell anything. So you got to keep after it every day. That's why I love publicity. Because if you have an unusual product, it's really easy to write a press release with a controversial headline or an unusual way to say something that captures the attention of an editor. And then you're off to the races. But you have to have an ad out there. Every month, you have to do your press releases on a religious basis.
Tell me about this Eat Your Face gelatin mold. This was one of your first ones, right?
That's been around for a long time.
How do you make the mold of your face?
Well, have you ever been to a dentist? They make an impression of your teeth.
Yes.
It's called alginate, just an extract from seaweed. And that's what I use. I took the formula from a dental supply house, and I tweaked it a little bit. It doesn't gel so fast. You know, that stuff you get at the dentist gels in 2 minutes.
So does it come in a powder?
In a powder. It looks like a bag of cocaine, actually. And you mix it with some water. It takes two people. The person having their face cloned will lay back with a couple of straws up their nose. And the other person just mixes the powder with water until it's like a cake batter. And you just pour this goop on the person's face, and it sits there for about 2 or 3 minutes, and then it hardens up, and you peel it off. That essentially becomes the bowl you pour the jello into. When it hardens up, you pop it out, and you got your face on a plate.
Oh, that's awesome.
Oh, yeah, I sell a lot of them.
Are you getting a lot of traffic on your website?
Lots of traffic.
How many unique visitors are you getting there, Daddy? Any idea? Are you pretty website savvy?
No.
Not really.
I hire somebody to do that for me. I don't do a lot of grunt work. My specialty is creating products and advertising to sell those products.
Right, yeah, you're the product developer.
I'm the idea guy and the copywriter.
Do you know what kind of traffic's coming to your site?
It depends on the time of the year. During the fourth quarter, between Halloween and Christmas, I'll get thousands of hits a day. Like now, we're down pretty slow, because I really don't have anything that people are interested in right now. They're kind of partied out from the holidays, and they're thinking about resolutions and how they're going to pay bills and so on and so forth.
So you're seasonal. You're really that Halloween time every year.
Yeah, this particular site is seasonal. Although, that's why I have to keep sending press releases. And that's why I wrote the second book, the second special effects cookbook, which tells you how to create a special effects recipe for every holiday all throughout the year. So when Valentine's Day comes around, I have a press release I send out.
All right, what's that one called? Is that the special effects cookbook?
For holidays and special occasions. Yeah, the first book was just the special effects, what's called the Amazing and Incredible Special Effects Cookbook. And the companion book is Special Effects Recipes for Holidays and Special Occasions.
Okay, I got you.
And every holiday that you can think of, Flag Day and Secretary's Day.
There it is, okay.
Everything. No matter what time of the year it is, I have a press release that's going to promote that book.
How's that going compared to the one that's just for that Halloween type time?
Yeah, that doesn't do quite as well, but it does drive traffic to the site. I do get calls. For Valentine's Day, I have a beating heart cake. It actually pumps like a real beating heart. And that gets the interest of a lot of editors. There's kind of a gross angle to it, and it's kind of fun. All throughout the book, you have different recipes for different occasions.
You're a real success story. I mean, you've made $1 million through the self-publishing business.
I sure have, and I'm very, very proud to say that. You know, it's been one of my big goals to do that, you know, to be like a Ted Nicholas or a Joe Cosman. And by gosh, I think I did it. I got some new products that are coming out this year. I think they're going to really, really be of great interest to a lot of people.
So when developing a new product, you're always thinking, what can I come up with now? What are the critical things you're thinking about now? What kind of research do you do now? I'm sure you're a little more sophisticated before you come out with a new product. Give me some scoop on the thinking process you're now thinking at this level before you come out with a new product.
Right. I recommend to anyone who is coming out with a new product or wants to create a new product or an invention or a book, a report or whatever, to concentrate on health. Boomers are starting to get old, and they're starting to get arthritis, they're starting to get all the aches and pains that older folks get, and this market is just exploding. You can make a lot of money just by inventing a product that takes advantage of a niche in that market.
All right, well, I want to talk about, what about people who are afraid of marketing health products because they're fearful of being accused of making false claims, the FDA type stuff? What do you think about that?
Funny you should ask me that, Mike. I've been up to my neck with that kind of a project here for the past year.
What happened?
I've created an ingestible. It's a cold capsule. It's a remedy for the common cold based on chicken soup. Each one of these capsules has the healing power of 16 bowls of chicken soup. You take 3 of these capsules a day, and it's like you've just eaten 48 bowls of chicken soup.
Tell me, how does that work?
It works great. I've tried it myself, and believe me, it's powerful stuff. I wrote an ad for it and placed a test ad. I won't say where. I did pretty well with it. It didn't get a call, but I had a dream, almost like a nightmare, I guess, of getting in trouble. It just so happens that I have a friend who's also in the business who was marketing a stop smoking kit, all herbal-based, nothing in there dangerous. He woke up one morning and found out that all of his bank accounts had been attached by the FTC for making claims that he wasn't allowed to make. So that kind of put the kibosh on that.
You got fearful and you stopped.
I got fearful like you didn't believe.
That's a good move.
So I have an asset that could be in danger. And so I just stopped immediately. I reformulated the whole product. I called a lawyer who was a specialist in vitamins and ingestibles and had my eyes opened. I reformulated it, and I rewrote the ad, so it's completely within the boundaries of FDC and FDA guidelines. No red flags. You do have to be so careful. Now, when you're writing a book, you don't have to be so careful. It's the ingestible stuff you have to be careful with, because with a book, you're just selling information. You don't have to worry. As long as you don't say you have a cure for arthritis, if a cure for cancer, many times you can take your headline and just put a question mark at the end of it. For example, never get the common cold bug again. Now, if you were to put that headline out there the way it's written, never get the cold bug again, you're making quite a claim. But if you put a question mark after that, and you turn it into a question, never get the common cold again, then it's completely legal.
Well, you know, there's still a company that does that, though. It's called Better Than Botox.
I've seen that ad.
Okay, and they had a question mark, and they came after them even with the question mark.
Yeah, that's probably because there were other red flags.
So you hired an attorney to kind of review what you were doing. He opened your eyes.
Really opened my eyes. And how you write the copy. You can still say what you want to say, but you just have to say it so that you're not raising any red flags.
Well, you've heard of Airborne.
Airborne, right.
I mean, look at that company. It's humongous. And if you read their copy, it doesn't make any claims at all. Third grade teacher, she wanted to come up with a way to stop getting sick from her kids. I mean, it says really nothing.
Right. Fortunately, I have clinical studies based upon my claims. I can say legally that this product does shorten the duration of the common cold, and it does relieve symptoms.
Based on your clinical studies?
On clinical studies, right.
What kind of clinical studies are they, though?
Done at the Cleveland Clinic. Your listeners will have to realize is that you can't make claims on foreign studies. All your studies have to be U.S.
U.S. studies. Is the Cleveland Clinic like a reputable clinic?
Believe me, it's world famous.
I was feeling terrible yesterday. I was nauseous. And my wife makes big, huge pots of fresh chicken soup. I go, let's have some chicken soup. Why is it? What is it in chicken soup that really helps you feel better?
The clinical studies indicate that, well, there's two things. Number one, it breaks up the mucus in your chest. So it does help with the congestion. And a lot of that, they think, just has to do with the steam coming off the hot soup. Some of the studies indicate that you can just drink hot water and get the same effects. But there are nutrients in chicken soup that actually affect your immune system. And they kick up your immune system so that the T cells, the killer cells, the white blood cells in your blood, actually start to go after the common cold bug in your bloodstream like hungry shark after prey.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and it goes after these cold bugs and just devours them up. And that's how your immune system works, is your T cells have to intervene and eliminate the virus.
I know we've digressed a little bit, and I had originally asked you, what are you thinking about in your mind now with the sophistication and your experience of your marketing about coming out with a new product? And one thing I see is you've got something that is, instead of a one-hit sale, you've got a consumable. Is that one of the things you thought about by coming out with this type of product?
Correct. You have to keep buying it. Buy it once. You will buy it once a month. Each bottle of capsules will last you approximately a month. The idea is to take them every day so that you keep your immune system up. There's lots of nasty bugs that are coming around at us in the coming years, at the bird flu, and people with weak immune systems are going to pay the price.
Yeah, they're more susceptible.
Absolutely. Especially if you're old and frail and sick, you need to boost your immune system. There's lots of products out that can do this, and mine is just one. But that's my strategy in the coming years, is to concentrate on the baby boom generation and health care products that they're going to need to help relieve their pain and make their life easier, make them more attractive. It's going to be a biggie. People don't want to get wrinkles and get old. They're going to buy whatever they have to buy to look good. They're going to buy whatever they have to buy to maintain virility. They're going to buy whatever they have to buy so they can go out and ride their bike every day or play tennis or swim. They don't have to go around in a wheelchair. There's so many products that you can create for the baby boomers to keep them healthy.
Are you ready to start marketing this stuff?
Oh, yeah.
Are you already doing it?
Website will be up next month. I've already got my press release written. I've already got space ads done.
You got your production done?
I got my production done. I've got an inventory. I've got everything I need. All I need to do now is just get my butt in gear.
Is that what you're going to focus on now and, you know, kind of ease off a little bit on the cookbook stuff?
I don't really have to ease off on it. You know, on the best of days, that only takes maybe a half hour of my time to administer that website and to make sure all the orders are filled and everything goes smoothly there. That's the beauty of book publishing. So you hire somebody else to do it, and you just watch where the money goes. This new product will take a lot of my time at first, but like everything else, it will eventually reach the point where I just become an administrator, move on to the next product, which is a space ad course that I'm coming out with.
First of all, before we get into that, I think that sounds like a fantastic product. Everyone knows chicken soup is Jewish penicillin. You're leveraging off all that history. That's very smart, and that's great for publicity.
It sure is, and it's going to work great. I know it is.
I'm looking forward to seeing more about that.
You're going to be hearing about it. You'll wake up one morning and you'll hear me on the radio or you'll see me in the newspaper selling my chicken soup capsule.
You're going to make a ton of money, too.
I think so.
Now, let me ask you just something to think about. I did a 10-hour interview with a guy who developed a male enhancement product, herbal product. He sold about $100 million worth of it. And then the FDA came in. They raided everything. And he had not protected himself. And in the interview, he said, if I had known I was doing anything wrong, because there were a lot of companies doing it, still in business doing it, he would have protected his assets. Have you thought about that before you launch into something like this and you're really starting to bring in the big bucks, any way to protect the assets that you already have in case some overzealous regulation, ABC regulator, comes in and seizes your assets? Is that something you thought about?
Sure, I've always thought about that. I think the way I've got it set up now with corporations and trusts and so on, that I'm pretty safe now. I think when you get up to the $100 million range, then you're going to have to make some alternate arrangements. And there's lots of things you can do, you know, overseas and so on. That's something for the future.
You have this love for space ads. Have you been collecting them all these years?
No, just recently. Last couple of years, I've started to collect. Like I said, I had a buddy who had a big collection of comic books, so I got a treasure trove of those. But so many, many others I've gotten from different sources.
Did you have some time to look at the hard-to-find ad site?
I have, yes. I have a lot of those ads. I have a lot of the Gary Halbert and Claude Hopkins. And the oldest space ad I have is from 1790, I think, selling a smoking device, an old pipe, I guess. But at any rate, yeah, I've got thousands of space ads, and that's going to be one of the bonuses in my space ad course.
Okay, here, I'm going to give you a publication called All American Ads. Have you heard of those books? If you go search it on Amazon, All American Ads for the 30s, for the 20s, for the 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s. This publisher, Caption, big publisher of all these really cool books, this book's as big as an encyclopedia. They keep coming out with them. They're going early and earlier. I just got the one for the 1920s, and they've collected all these great space ads, and they have it categorized: movies, health products, consumer products, industrial products, and they've remastered them into full color, beautiful stuff, all the old car ads. You'll probably go right there and order all six of their books. They're only about 20-something bucks a piece. All American ads for the 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, and 70s.
All right, Mike. Thank you for that.
Yeah, go check that out.
I will. I have kept my space ad course so that we specialize in direct response ads. I haven't included any ad in there that does not include a call for action. You actually have to send money from these ads.
In the books I'm giving you, a lot of them are mostly institutional.
Right.
But it's still neat to see the stuff that was out there.
But my space ad course, you might find this pretty interesting, is based upon the comedy of the Three Stooges.
Okay, tell me.
I decided to do that because, well, number one, I like the Stooges. They're hilarious. And number two, when you are learning something and it's amusing, you will learn it faster and you will learn it better. The Stooges were geniuses at slapstick comedy. They knew what makes people laugh. They knew the core principles of what makes a guy laugh when another guy gets hit over the head with a hammer. They just understood it. Same way with my course. I teach you how to understand your customer, the very core of their soul. When your customer goes to sleep at night, the last thing he thinks of is what you got to know if you want to sell him a product. And that's what the course teaches you, how to get into the psychology of your customer so that you can appeal to that want or that need so that they take their wallet out and send you their money.
How much are you going to sell the course for?
Well, it's gotten so big now, and it's full of CDs and free bonuses. It'll probably be around the $600 range.
Do you have a sales letter written for it yet?
No, not yet.
Are you going to use the Three Stooges angle as your promotional angle?
Sure. Oh, yeah.
All right, very good.
I think that it'll be unique, one of the most unique self-study programs out there, you know, as far as direct response.
And so are you doing the audio CDs yourself?
Well, I have an option. I have a buddy who has a website called Beetle Brunch. You ever hear of Beetle Brunch?
Beetle Brunch? What is Beetle Brunch?
Beetle Brunch is a radio show that runs every Sunday afternoon, and all they do is play Beetle. A buddy of mine, Joe Jeff, he's the DJ who does the Beetle Brunch show, and he's agreed to do all the narration. I'm going to give him the course, and he's going to read it, and it'll be his voice you hear on the CDs.
Just on a side, you know, the way we've been doing this interview right now, you could very effectively teach and do your course in an interview style just by following the format. And I'll tell you, you'll get a lot more people to listen to it. Haven't you ever heard the Nightingale Conant tape when you listen to seminars and it's just someone talking into the mic? You know, it's sometimes hard to get through that material. For a lot of people, I mean, maybe you and me and a rabid learners, we can do it. But I know just through over the 4 or 5 years I've been doing audio interviews, this format that we're doing is the most compelling, the most believable, the most effective way in teaching, because the listener is like a voyeur. He's listening in on two people talking rather than the guy talking at him. And it just makes a huge difference. And I know you haven't spent much time at my hardtofindseminars.com website, but this is one of the services I provide, and it probably makes a big difference in developing the course. It'll just come across a lot easier, and then you don't have to write out and script the whole entire course. All we need is a format.
Excellent idea. I have a problem with the spoken word. It just doesn't come across as professionally as I would like.
I can send you some more information on that later.
Please do. Also, that CD-ROM you've got, the interactive space ad.
Oh, the CD-ROM. Yeah, no problem. Well, when you're ready with that space ad course, I'd be interested in definitely looking at that and maybe helping
you. I'd be able to do a joint venture, especially with this interactive space ad concept of yours. I like that very, very much. Kind of like a lazy way to do it.
It is.
You don't really have to go through the whole course if you don't want to. You can just take that one aspect of the course and start immediately.
Absolutely. And then all your audio is you teaching it, but you need someone who understands marketing and advertising so they can expand on your topics. I'll send you some information on that as well. It's Michael with Michael Senoff's HardToFindSeminars.com in another bonus tip. How would you like to turn your $28 book or ebook or even a concept in your head into a $3,900 information product? I'll provide you the secrets on how to do this. If you'd like a completely free 30-day trial of my system for turning your simple book or even just a concept in your mind into an information product that you can sell for $97, $197, or even as much as $3,900 or more. This system includes a whole range of tricks and tips to help you pack your audio program full of great stories that take control of your listeners' brains. My information product creation system comes with my personal guarantee that you'll create an information product worth from $97 to $497 that's designed to sell like hotcakes. This is a 30-day free trial. If you'd like information on this, please email me at michael@hardtofindseminars.com. In the subject line, write in all caps, $28 book, and I'll email you information on how to turn your $28 book or even a concept in your mind into a $3,900 information product. Hi, this is Michael Senoff with Michael Senoff, HardToFindSeminars.com. Here is another bonus tip in a valuable service that I offer to select clients. If you can talk into an ordinary telephone, you could be selling your own high-priced audio programs in as little as 7 days. This is the easiest way on earth to create a series of powerful audio recordings for your own information product. I call you on an ordinary telephone and interview you live on a series of related hot topics about your niche subject. I take care of all the editing, all the technical stuff, and I give you the finished MP3s or WAV files and audio transcripts. I only have time to give this deluxe personalized service to a few more carefully selected clients. If you're interested in developing and creating your own valuable information products that you could have complete in as short as 7 days and be selling for as high as $300, $500, even $3,900, please contact me at michael@hardtofindseminars.com. In the subject line of your email, please write info product information in all capital. Make sure I have your name and a way to contact you by phone, and we can talk about your specific ideas. Or you may call me at 858-274-7851. Hi, it's Michael Senoff here with another bonus tip from Michael Senoff's HardToFindSeminars.com. It's called an audio infomercial. Your audio infomercial, which I create for you, will sell more products of yours faster, easier, and for less cost than any conventional advertising method, and I guarantee it 100%. Imagine catching yourself at concert pitch talking about what makes your business or your product service unique, what makes it special. Imagine taking a professional recording of that perfect sales presentation that I create for you and giving it to your prospect as an audio CD or an internet download from your website. I can do this for you faster than you ever thought possible with my personalized audio informational recording service. If you're interested in this unique service, please contact me at michael@hardtofindseminars.com. In the subject line of your email, in all capitals, write audio infomercial, and I will get back with you with more information. Hi, that's the end of this recording with Michael. If you're interested in learning more about Michael's Space Ad course, please email me at michael@hardtofindseminars.com. That's michael@hardtofindseminars.com. Here is another bonus resource for you, and it's about a section on my site that has about 15 hours of audio interviews with copywriting experts, including Brian Keith Voiles, including Carl Galletti, including Eugene Schwartz. You will not find this content anywhere. It'll take you to an entire collection of audio recordings, MP3 downloads, and transcripts of some of my best interviews on the subject of copywriting. You'll be able to play them, download them, print the transcripts, and it's a collection you will not find anywhere else. If you want an education on copywriting, you will not find anything better than this.